D3. Number 4A.
We want to take up now the subject of the seven synonymous terms, because I have been asked to put the stress this weekend on an understanding of what those seven synonymous terms are. Now, I quite agree that I present them now in a very different way than what we were used to present them, because up to now we just used to take the definition of God, as Mrs. Eddy gives it, as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, and would explain what they mean. Now, here for the first time, I try to present these seven synonymous terms from that new standpoint of structure instead of that linear way. See, it's like showing arithmetic from the standpoint of mathematics as they do it today, from the standpoint of structure. So I'd like to be a bit modern and try another way. So here we go, and take the highest sense of science, namely science itself. And science itself, as it looks today, and it's always our present understanding of the subject, is best expressed or symbolized by just one term, namely principle. Principle, which is really pinpointing the nature of science itself. Because science is that which is based on principle, reduced to a system, and incorporated in laws. So every science has a principle and rests on principle. And here we have that sense that Mrs. Eddy lifted the concept of God out of itself into the scientific term of principle. I feel it is the infinite principle that is meant here, and not so much the divine principle. It's the infinite principle. You see, at that point in science, we are not a bit religiously minded. Science free from religious thought, free from religious sentiment, and therefore free from a divine sense. It's a higher sense than divine. It's that sense that being is infinite and that there is an infinite principle operating by itself. In one article on capitalization, Mrs. Eddy speaks that God can be expressed through mind and spirit and soul and principle and life and truth and love. And then she says, but principle includes them all, as if to want to say the pinpoint of all the seven synonymous terms is really the infinite principle, because that principle rests on the fact that the nature of being is mind, spirit, and soul, and that the essence of being is life, truth, and love. So that mind, spirit, and soul on one side and life, truth, and love on the other side are only those two great wings of the one central principle. And actually, we could get along very nicely on that high plane of science with just principle and its infinite idea. You know how in that same article on capitalization, Mrs. Eddy makes that statement about principle, that it is really the principle of all principles. Because she says, what are termed in common speech the principle of harmonious vibration, the principle of conservation of numbers in geometry, the principle of the inclined plane in mechanics, are but one effect of one universal cause, an emanation of the one divine intelligent principle. See, here is one of those statements where she points out that really all the principles which we know in mechanics, in geometry, in acoustics, in every field, are only an emanation of the one underlying principle. I don't know why Christian scientists fight those natural scientists. I just can't understand it. A physicist? Oh, material science. Why? That's not Mr. Zeddy's teaching. Not at all. Mrs. Zeddy didn't have a diverse. She had a universe. She had a universe where all were united in one principle. She didn't have a universe of duality, where constantly we are thinking, this is spiritual, this is material. This is spiritual truth, this is material error. She didn't have that. It looked like that in her writing, but she didn't have that. Because for her, there was just one principle, and that principle expresses itself in infinite principles, in the principle of the inclined plane, in the principle of the conservation of numbers. Today she would take quite different illustrations that she could take at her time, because we are living in a completely different age. But she would still state there is one principle. And naturally, the whole world is trying to converge and converge to that one principle. I was reading another book on physics, and that professor on physics was showing out in a beautiful way that even if we consider matter, the planets, astronomy, the laws of Kepler, that actually behind them is a spiritual principle. So why do we fight them and degrade them as material scientists? You know, it's just the last thing you can think of. Here, if we would have a true sense of science, and not just a religious sense and the moral sense of science, but a spiritual sense of science, we would see that there is only one principle. And therefore there is only one principle. And therefore there is only one principle. And so we stick to it. And see that this principle is an infinite emanation of showing itself forth in principles which are correct and useful and are based on law, on order, on rule, on system, on method, on form, on plane. That's science. Now, each science, whatever we take, is a great attempt, no matter if they achieve it to the highest or not, is a great attempt to abstract from the subject, because science is an abstraction, to abstract from the subject more and more and more in order to see the laws, the orders, the rules, the system underlying any subject. And therefore reducing the infinite manifestations to more and more scientific terms, scientific concepts, which are the very same as we have in science. This one principle rests on laws, on orders, on rules, on systems, on methods, on forms, and on plans. And that's principle. So that whenever we can think in spiritual terms in the way of these scientific methods, and scientific categories, we are thinking in terms of the one infinite principle. In this one infinite principle, we learn that this principle is one great concord. So we begin to learn something more about the nature of principle. It's not only infinite, it has not only scientific elements, it is fundamental, because from it emanate all sciences. It's the principle of all principles. It's the science of all sciences. And little by little we gather a tone of principle as the place value here on the level of science. It is that principle, therefore, which conveys to us the sense of harmony. In science, she says, all is one great concord. So we get the sense of harmony, of concord. We don't get the sense of demonstration, see? Because in science itself, we are not considering any problem. We are not asking questions. Science is an interpretation of itself. Principle, therefore, interprets itself through its own nature as scientific laws and orders. Here, principle does not need to solve problems because it does not know problems. The principle of being is not problematic. The principle of being is quite happy and joyous in its own rhythmic round of being, in the whole concord of being. Therefore, if our consciousness is aligned to that standpoint, I think we should be a very happy group. Very happy. Just going out into the world with that firm conviction that fundamentally only one principle is at work. That one principle at work is the principle of everything. It can't help but acting according to law, according to order, according to rule, according to system. So therefore, because it acts according to system, it brings all the details together into one harmonic whole, the great concord, which is fundamental. And so we stay in that interpretation of principle without having to consider any question of error or of evil. Now, this may be the pinpoint of the term principle at this place. Now, what is the practice? I always will show you, every time I come to these synonymous terms, to show you the practice of it, as far as I see it today. Now, what is the practice? The practice to me seems to be this, that because science is that which considers being as its own being, see, does not consider its ideas. The Infinite One considers itself as the Infinite One. That's the altitude of consciousness. And so here we would have that which Mrs. Eddy may say, when she says that God is his own infinite mind. See, that's typical, that level of science itself, where she says that God is its own infinite mind. Therefore, where God is knowing itself as itself, mind. It doesn't ask, what is my creation? To ask what is my creation is already asking something about the divine nature of being, because we have a human universe and a human existence. The highest, most supreme or superb sense is to stay in consciousness and say, why should I be worried or engaged in considering anything else but the infinite as it sees itself? And so, seeing that, I can have the practice, it's a beautiful practice, I use it very often, where I just say, all right, then principle is its own infinite mind. See, does not be concerned with ideas, with specific cases, with specific people, with specific situations. It's God conscious of himself. And so I feel one of the highest sense of practice here is when I just am quiet and still within myself and just have everything shut out. A thought just contemplates that there is the infinite principle being conscious of its own self as mind. Principle is its own infinite mind. Think of the vastness of the infinitude of it. Therefore, if principle is its own infinite mind, then principle knows itself only as that infinite mind which was the cause of everything, as that mind which was the impulsion and the creative urge of everything, that no other mind was ever going on but principle's own mind. Can you see how that takes away all those questions which say, do I know the truth? Does the patient know the truth? Are there not those hostile minds and those interference of other thoughts that make the treatment heavy and the healing difficult? All that is just not in question. If principle is his own infinite mind. See, she doesn't say principle is mind. She says principle is his own. And you see how our principle there is stated as that which knows itself as mind itself, which knows itself as the only mind, as the infinite mind. Where principle knows that never, from everlasting to everlasting, has any other mind been able to go on but the infinite mind. And therefore the infinite manifestation of mind. Therefore the infinite activity of mind. Therefore the infinite power of mind. Therefore the infinite law of mind. That's all that has ever been going on in every shape and form, at every place and time and under all circumstances. This is treatment. Or where you see, because principle includes all the synonymous terms, you can see that principle is its own infinite spirit. Which means that principle is its own infinite unfoldment, because spirit is that which unfolds. It is its own infinite substance. There is no other substance. So that we begin to realize that principle is its own infinite evolution. Its own infinite evolution. Never is anything going to happen which is not in line with principle. Why are we afraid of tomorrow? If we would see that, then we wouldn't have any anxieties of tomorrow. And I was teaching the other day in Los Angeles at the same hotel. There was an enormous gathering of the science of religious science combined with the Unity Church for a few days, and their subject was survival of men, ? If God is his own infinite spirit, that principle is its own infinite evolution. And we don't need to be afraid of anything. Then we begin to see that principle has its own evolution. There is no evolution going on, neither material, neither biological, neither psychological, in any shape and form, except that which principle dictates. No matter if that evolution shows itself forth as a material evolution or as a psychological evolution or sociological evolution, that doesn't matter. As long as we see that principle is its own evolution, then that dictates upon everything and marks upon everything, gives the impress on everything, so that everything will be in line with principles on evolution. There's nothing to be afraid about that. There's just a great joy about that, that things are going on, and things are going on wonderfully. If the human mind doesn't see it, that's the human mind's business, but not God's own business. Either we go out from the Infinite One and look out from the Infinite One and stick to the Infinite One. But naturally, if we go from one extreme to the other and say we go out from the divine principle, and then in the next moment we look at the whole picture from the human point of view, from the sense testimony point of view, then we will never find an answer. We'll never come to that day of rest. So here we go on that our treatment, we just can't see that all that there is going on is that principle is its own infinite soul. Now soul always stands for identification, for unchangeable identity. So here we find that principle is looking after the integrity of itself, after the identity of itself. Principle is quite aware of maintaining its own integrity and identity, and remaining principle under all circumstances, under all difficulties, under all suggestions, under all argumentations. Principle is its own soul. What a wonderful sense, compared that each one of us has its own soul. Each one a soul by itself. Being a nice soul and a good soul, a lot of lovely soul, lifting that right out to see God is soul, and principle is its own soul. Therefore, principle is that which looks after the integrity, identity, unchangeability of everything which is divine. And so we can see that principle is its own principle, but therefore principle is its own science, that it doesn't need any other sciences, that it doesn't need not another science to establish the science of principle. No other science will establish the science of principle except principle itself. And so we can rest assured that if we stay in that consciousness, that that consciousness will just leaven and leaven and leaven and level every branch of science, so that finally all come together into that scientific sense of having one principle. And today it looks much, very much so, that we are approaching that point faster and, quicker and quicker in all branches of science. So many scientists speak about that there is a supra-human principle, and that that principle is the only real principle. We have a wonderful future before us. No age has had such a wonderful time as our time, because so much is moving in a spiritual way. We may not always see it, because we may be fooled by the outward appearance, which is always the counterfeit of it. But the moment we look behind the scene, we see those wonderful things appearing. The principle of all principles, the science of all science. Today, cybernetics is seen as the science of all sciences, because cybernetics runs through every science. Cybernetics runs through the science of medicine, runs through the science of psychology, runs through the science of biology, runs through the science of physics. We have cybernetics in art, in literature, in music. We have cybernetics in every branch of human investigation. It's the one science. It's also called the proto-science, the first science out from which all other sciences stem, It's called the integrated science because it is that science into which all sciences are integrated. It's a wonderful subject that's coming. I don't know why we shouldn't be happy in this world. It's a real happy world. And in such a short time that within one or two generations we can see things happening which before took thousands of years. And we had to die a few different times in order to get somehow along, huh? And now within our whole generation we see the whole thing just coming forth. It has its danger, it has its danger. Every light has its shadow, that doesn't matter. Principle is its own infinite principle. And we'll jolly well look after it. And so we can see in our treatment that principle is its own infinite life. Think about that. That when the problem is there about life or death or anything like that, that we can just lay it aside and see, well, principle is its own infinite life. What are you going to worry about any sort of life? About any sort of biological or bodily or social or physical life? If principle is its own infinite life. It's not just life. It's infinite life. It's not just infinite life. It's its own infinite life. It's its possession. And so we can trust that principle as being so truly fundamental that that principle is life, is its own life, and that therefore there is nothing to be feared. Or my thought can go on to the next synonymous term of truth and see principle is its own infinite truth. Again, we feel that fundamental sense of principle being its own truth, its own infinite truth. If we only would trust that. Instead of trying, do I know the truth? Do I enough of the truth? You know, all the people coming along and say, yes, but I fear I don't have yet a big enough understanding of truth. I don't know the truth yet clear enough. I can't see the truth clear enough. I can. The whole I is there, no I. It's principle. Why should we see the truth? If principle is its own infinite truth, why can't we let truth, principle, be its own truth? Why? Why do we want to interfere? And let, instead of letting principle be its own infinite truth, therefore, if principle is self-operative, it will be self-operative infinite truth. And we jolly well know the truth about the situation, jolly well work out the truth that is needed. All what we have to do is to accept it and let it be, and let it happen. Consciously accept it and consciously let it happen. Consciously rejoice within ourselves, consciously be glad within ourselves, consciously be happy within ourselves, that truth is its own, that principle is its own infinite truth. There is no more a question, do I know the truth, do I know enough of the truth, etc. You let the burden fall away from your shoulders and let principle carry on.